Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the 2009 Q3 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star 1 on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Monday the 16th of November, 2009. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker for today, Jordi Molina. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Ana Maria, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today at the Almiral Q3 Results Conference. This is Jordi Molina, Investor Relations. Joining us today in this event, we have Eduardo Sanchez, Chief Financial Officer, Luciano Conde, Chief Operating Officer, and Per Anderson, Chief Scientific Officer. I now hand over to Eduardo for the opening remarks, and at the end of the highlights, we will open a Q&A session.
Thank you very much, Jordi, and good afternoon to everyone. So let me share with you some highlights of the financial performance for the first 9 months of the year. First of all, as you can see also in the documents that have been provided this morning, net sales year-to-date have grown 2.4%. Basically, this comes from a flat performance in terms of growth in the Spanish market, basically the growth coming from the international business. Having said that, we have to recall also that in Spain we sold at the beginning of this year a portfolio of non-core products which would represent somewhere around 9 million, and we have to take that also into consideration when talking about the flat evolution of the business in Spain. Moving on, basically you also see in the P&L that we have continued our efforts to moderate the growth in expenses, and this is true during this year both on R&D and particularly for SG&A. Actually, as you may see, SG&A is decreasing by 6% versus the same period of 2008, and as a percentage on sales, it has gone down from 43% last year to 39% this year. With all that, we still see, nevertheless, a temporary erosion at the EBITDA and EBIT level, and this comes primarily because of a very strong other income in Q3 last year. We have also provided a backup page on that one, but again, other income in Q3 of last year went up significantly because of two relevant milestone payments that we received during the third quarter of 2008, while this year overall performance in other income has been not as strong as the previous year, and for that again we resent, and the EBIT and EBITDA go down in terms of growth versus the previous year, but again we think that this is going to be a temporary effect. And I will come back and share a bit more details on the full guidance for the year a bit later. So with all that, also, our normalized net income also goes down by 5.2%, while the total net income still grows 6%, helped again by the extraordinary sale of the non-core assets, again related to this portfolio of products in Spain. Moving on to the balance, we see that the intangible assets have grown primarily because of the business development deals that we have done in the first part of this year, while the fixed assets related to property, plant and equipment actually go down versus December of 2008 as no substantial addition has been done to our fixed assets. Inventories, after being relatively high due to seasonality of some of our products at the beginning of this year, have continued to go down in Q2 and now in Q3. And we expect actually this figure to go further down for the end of this year. Accounts receivables have stayed relatively flat. We have continued to grow our cash and equivalents, primarily again through the cash flow generated through the business. Altogether also the debt continues to be repaid as agreed in the past with our financial institutions. And right now we have finished basically this quarter with a net debt of 110 million, which would represent of the EBITDA of 2008 about 0.48. So again, healthy financial situation altogether. When we look at the cash flow evolution, again, very strong. September year-to-date, cash flow from operating activities have been at the level of 159 million euros. When we look at the investments, the most significant ones, for a total of 55 million, correspond, again, to the upfront, on linaclotide and milestone payments related to Sativex. Also on the divestments, we have there the net inflow of the money received through the divestment of 13 non-promoted products in Spain. Otherwise, we have continued to pay basically the rest of the commitments we had, whether in terms of dividends or debt repayment, to complete the picture, which eventually sees an increase in the total cash flow generated during the period of 24 million euros. And if we look at the total free cash flow generated in the first 9 months, a very healthy 124 million euros. So with that quick review of the financial aspects, I'm going to pass the word to my colleague, Luciano Conte. To Dr. Anderson, actually. Oh, no, excuse me again, to Luciano.
Okay, thank you, Eduardo. Good afternoon. I would like to guide you through the operation evolution in the first 9 months of 2009. The company continues to deliver growth in line with the issue guidance, even though the market conditions have hardened with most countries in Western Europe slowing down in the growth of the market. In Spain, we continue to maintain our market share stable, a sign of the stagnation of the overall market evolution. Our sales remain flat, although some products growing double-digit, like Prevencor or Esertia, and others declining, Tobopal or Eurotrol. These numbers do not yet include any impact associated with the entry of the magnesium salts copies of Prevencor launches in October. We do not expect them to materially impact us during the remaining 2009. The affiliated companies have grown 3.2%. The growth is mainly coming from our affiliates in Europe, which have grown 6.5% despite negative impact on the currency in UK and Poland. In Mexico, prescription sales have evolved positively, but we have been hit by negative exchange rate impact and the loss of our major government tender business bid. The partner business continues to deliver growth, main effect coming from Japan and the US. The corporate sales are declining, basically linked to the low margin toll manufacturing business in Rheinbeck being affected by the economic environment. Our diversified portfolio has grown nearly 6%, with our proprietary products Sebastian taking full advantage of the season. Growth of the product have been double-digit in most affiliates, with particular positive impact in France, where we have grown 25%, Italy 15%, but I would say not least impressive in Spain, plus 5.8%, where the product has generic marketed since 2004 and still hold a market share above 30%. I would like to call your attention to Solaris, acquired last year, that we have revitalized. It is now growing at 48.7% and becoming the leading product in the treatment of actinic keratosis in Europe. Please note the growth is not yet coming from rolling out the product to any new territories, but from the optimization of the product in the countries where it was already present. As new products get closer to the market, we continue to make progress in the three key therapeutic categories of corporate focus: dermatology, digestive, and respiratory. We also show very positive evolution in the cardiovascular franchise in Spain, while CNS and osteomuscular present have lost momentum. With the intention of rationalizing our cost structure and generate improvements in our cost of goods, we have now completed the closure of manufacturing plant in France and have announced our intention to concentrate our manufacturing operations in two strategic sites, San Andreu in Spain and Rheinbeck in Germany. Preliminary steps to attain this goal have been started already. We continue to constantly monitor and analyze the adequacy of our commercial structure and take action to keep it aligned with our needs. With that last remark, I will pass the call to my colleague, Ted.
Okay, thank you very much. We are making good progress with our pipeline with a key focus on our late-stage respiratory projects, obviously Clyrac, Clidinium Bromide, but also its combination with formoterol in phase 2B, as well as our long-acting beta agonist, LAS-10977, moving into phase 2B. With this in mind, we will now increase our focus on the respiratory area, both in discovery and in development. And for that reason, we have decided to seek partners for our ongoing programs in the autoimmune area, namely the DHODH candidate LAS-186323 in phase 1, as well as its backup. We also have a program in S1P1 agonist for multiple sclerosis and other autoimmune diseases, as well as a JAK program for rheumatoid arthritis and other areas. In the S1P1 area, we have a preclinical candidate identified, and we expect a candidate in our JAK program early next year. Some comments on our other pipeline projects. Sativex, here we are awaiting regulatory feedback from the EMA rapporteur, the UK, either late this year or early 2010. And if GW and ourselves are successful, then we expect approval and launch in our first country, Spain, during next year. In our dermatology pipeline, we are adding projects, and this time we disclose one new project to the list, LAS410007. This is a project for non-melanoma skin cancer, where we have started a phase 2 clinical trial. Let's then turn the attention to Eklira. As we have announced previously in September, we intend to file a marketing authorization application with the EMEA for its for this once-a-day long-acting anti-muscarinic agonist in the early part of 2010 for the indication of maintenance bronchodilator treatment and symptom control of COPD. This filing for once-a-day actinium bromide 200 micrograms will be supported by a large clinical program, including two 12-month studies, the ACLAIM COPD 1 and 2 studies, but also an exercise endurance lung hyperinflation study, as well as a rate of onset study. Together, this program accounted for an exposure of more than 2,000 COPD patients worldwide. In October, we announced, together with Forest, our partner in the US, results from a phase 2 study comparing and tiotropium. And the completion of the enrollment of a phase 3-month study with two different BID doses versus placebo. The results of both these trials is expected to be announced in the first quarter of next year. Additionally, two new phase 3 clinical studies with aclidinium versus placebo, one for 3 months and one for 6 months duration, have been added to the ongoing twice-daily development program. Let's turn to linaclotide. Earlier this month, Ironwood and Forest announced positive results for two pivotal phase 3 trials in patients with chronic constipation. The top-line results disclosed show that each of these two trials met primary as well as all secondary endpoints. We have also announced that this triggered an equity investment by Almirall in Ironwood shares worth $15 million. The results in chronic constipation confirm the potential for this compound, for which, as you know, Almirall holds pan-European rights, as well as rights in Turkey and CIS. The two studies are part of a larger phase 3 program that investigates linaclotide in chronic constipation, but also in irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, IBS-C, this indication being the most important for the European market. There are two ongoing phase 3 studies to assess the safety and efficacy of linaclotide in IBS-C patients, and the results are due during the second half of 2010. Let me finally say a few words about news flow during next year. Top-line results from the first 3 months phase 3 study with Eklira, given BID, is expected, as I said, during the first quarter of 2010. For the long-acting beta agonist LAS-10977, we have submitted clinical as well as preclinical abstracts to be presented at the ATS in May. And for linaclotide, we expect the phase 3 data 5BSC during the second half of 2010. On the regulatory front, The plan is to file a clear once a day, as I said, in the European Union during the first quarter. We are expecting the assessment of Sativex for multiple sclerosis spasticity no later than the first quarter of next year. And during the second half, middle to second half of the year, we hope to see results from the ongoing phase 3 trial in oncological pain. Finally, in the dermatology pipeline, we are filing LAS41005 for non-melanoma skin cancer this quarter and expect approval for LAS41001 for acne rosacea and LAS41002 for skin inflammation during the first and the second quarter, respectively. That was the update on R&D, and I'll hand back for some concluding remarks to Eduardo.
Thank you very much, Per. Let me perhaps go back and make a few comments related to the whole financial guidance for 2009. As you have seen in our document, we still expect to be able to finish the year with a low single-digit growth in sales and normalized net income, while having mid-single-digit growth in EBIT and EBITDA. The performance, as you all know, those knowing the company well during Q4, is typically a quarter that is very heavy on expenses. Certainly it was last year, and due to the very high R&D as well as SG&A expenses in Q4 of last year, we actually had a negative EBIT in Q4 again of 2008. We also expect Q4 of 2009 to be a bit heavier than the previous quarters when it comes to both R&D as well as SG&A expenses, but perhaps not as extreme as Q4 of 2008. And with that, we again expect the performance for the whole year to be in line with the comments I just made. When it comes to corporate development, both in 2009 and 2010, we have indicated a number of times that we continue to give high priority to looking for partnerships for Eclira in Europe and Japan, as well as for our long-acting beta agonist. While during 2009 we have maintained contacts with interested parties in Europe for Eclira, we think that the situation will be even more favorable during 2010, as also has been explained by Dr. Anderson. During the first quarter of last year, we expect to have the results from the first phase 3 study on the BID dose for Eclira. Also, we'll be able to provide more details on the positive head-to-head trial that we also mentioned last October. We'll have more information as we complete the filing dossier for the product. So all that, I think, should clearly strengthen the position towards continuing, again, hopefully finalizing the discussions on partnering not only in Europe but also in Japan, where we also intend to put a lot of priority during 2010. When it comes to the long-acting beta agonist, similarly, we have had quite a number of contacts and discussions during 2009. We do not rule out to be able to sign a partnership agreement on this particular product in the very near future. Moving on to the outlook for 2010, we have been trying, again, to give some very general, more qualitative, actually, idea of how we look 2010 for the company. Obviously, we acknowledge that we have some challenges when it comes particularly to the Spanish environment, competitive environment. On the other hand, we have quite a number of things going on for us along the lines of the pipeline, but also the outlook and the performance of some of the newer products that we have been introducing in the Spanish market, like, you know, sitagliptin particularly. Also, again, the potential of the dermatology portfolio and the news that we are having on the new products, particularly the linaclotide Sativex, all that makes us feel that with that and the significant cost containment that we continue to have in place, we may be in an adequate position to sustain the company's profits. So with that, I'll pass the word to Jordi and maybe head towards the questions.
Well, thank you very much to all. Ana Maria, back to you, please, for opening the Q&A session, please.
We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. And if you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from Joe German. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. It's Joe German here from Citi. One financial and then a couple of R&D ones. if I may. Firstly, on SG&A, Eduardo, clearly in the third quarter is usually a light quarter on SG&A anyway, but you came in sort of 700 basis points better than last year in terms of margin. Can you give us any sense at all on how much of that might have been sort of helped by different phasing in Q3 and how much of it is sort of underlying sort of improvement in containing those costs? And perhaps just follow up with a little bit of an outlook on how we can expect that to develop over the next year or so. And then secondly, on R&D, firstly on linaclotide, have you had any clarity yet from the regulators in Europe on whether the ongoing US trials in IBS-C are going to be fileable in Europe, or are those discussions still ongoing? And then on Eclira, you've got three new trials now underway versus placebo in the twice daily dose. Is that sort of the end of the program, or are you looking at doing any sort of active comparator trials for Eclira this time around? In terms of, they may not be essential for regulatory, but in terms of sort of from a commercial point of view, is that something you're looking at doing? I'll stop there. Thank you.
Okay, let me start perhaps addressing your SG&A question. I think that, again, the effort has been quite relevant across the entire company to control and even reduce, again, SG&A. Basically, the first quarter of the year of this 2009, we had very similar figures to the first quarter of 2008, but then second quarter has been below last year's. Third quarter has been below last year's, and we also expect the fourth quarter to be below last year's. So again, it will be more important in terms of total amount than the previous quarters, as we have traditionally had in this company. But again, it will also be below the same level of expenses, or below the level of expenses that we had in Q4 2008. And again, all I can say at this point is that we intend to continue the pressure, looking for improved efficiencies and alternative ways to realize savings and to basically maintain a very good control on the evolution of this particular item. And Per, on the other questions?
Yeah, so first, Joe, on linaclotide, the discussions with the regulators are ongoing. We have some key interactions. I cannot comment on that at this stage. With regard to Eclira and the Phase 3 program, as you stated, we have no active comparator in the Phase 3 program for the obvious reasons that we have stated before, that in long-term trials it's very difficult to have a blinded comparator, and also the regulators understand this. I don't want to comment today on the extent of our comparator studies. As you know, we have completed one study, and you will see the results of that study in January, and we might or might not have some further studies with an active comparator, but in the case that we do, they will be relatively short-term for practical reasons.
Okay, that's great. Thanks.
Your next question comes from Jo Walton. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon. A couple of questions, please. Looking at the two areas that you wish to to partner, the disease modification, the immunology side, can you just tell us what you think would be unique about the candidates that you have in the S1P1 and the JAK kinase areas? You can get some sort of sense as to how excited people might be in terms of partnering. Looking at aclidinium, now that you are pretty clear on the timing for filing your once a day in Europe, can you give us some idea of what time frame you expect that review to be completed in? We would normally expect it to be, you know, a year, and therefore 2010 would have some additional investment perhaps in terms of pre-marketing ahead of launch. If you are getting that close to launch, when would we expect to hear about a European marketing partner? Surely that should be pretty imminent. Is it possible that the review will take longer because the regulators will want to see the twice-a-day data as well as the once-a-day data? And finally, on your linaclotide. You mentioned a $15 million investment. Is that an equity investment that you could subsequently sell, or is it a $15 million milestone payment?
I can start perhaps with your last question. That's an easy one. No, it is an equity investment. We are getting shares, so it is not a milestone payment. We are actually getting the equity in our books.
Thank you.
Okay, Joe, then on the R&D side, first of all, for a clearer European filing, we expect a normal review timeline, we can comment afterwards with regard to the marketing investments and so on. But before I hand over to Luciano, let me say a little bit about our programs that we have not disclosed before, the S1P1 and the JAK programs. So obviously areas of multiple sclerosis and RA are very interesting areas from a commercial point of view, although they require quite a substantial investment on the development side, and that is the reason why we have taken the view now that this is a good timing to find a partner for us to concentrate on our development capabilities and discovery on respiratory. As for the S1P1, fingolimod is the lead compound in phase 3, and obviously there are good phase 3 data. We do believe that there are advantages with our compound, both from the point of view of selectivity for S1P1 versus other S1Ps, and also with regard to the pharmacokinetics, because fingolimod does produce a lymphopenia that is very long-lasting, and that is creating a problem for treating physicians. With regard to the JAK program, the frontrunner there is the Pfizer compound that is in phase 3 with very good results. We do think that there is a need for more than one compound in this area, and obviously there are some improvements that you can look at, both from the point of view of selectivity and also convenience, because the Pfizer compound is a twice-a-day compound. So I think that is enough for today. We will disclose much more details on our program as we now start discussing with potential partners. So perhaps, Luciano, if you can comment on the market investments and so on.
Well, as we have always communicated, well, first of all, good afternoon, Joe. Second, the first thing, as we have always communicated, is our intention to partner the product, and therefore the partner will take a substantial part of the burden of commercializing the products in the different countries. In any case, we are not stopped. We are doing a lot of pre-marketing work, and we are preparing the launch of the product to the best of our knowledge with the, let's say, the what you would consider a comprehensive plan, where we are dealing obviously with the opinion leaders, publication strategies, boards of assessment, preparing the training materials, preparing the positioning, finalizing some profiling job and profiling studies, and at the same time preparing all the market access documentation required, let's say, to apply for pricing and reimbursement in different territories in Europe as the product comes. The first proof of that is that now we are referring to the product, you yourself, as a Eclira. So it's now a Eclira Genuair, and it is a Eclira Genuair for all of us, and it's obviously a marketing effort from our side to try to communicate this to the outside world. We are obviously planning publications, presence in the most relevant congresses in the near future in the respiratory area, and I would say as we get closer to the launch, we'll be increasing the level of investment and obviously the noise of about the product and the knowledge about the product in all the stakeholders at all the stakeholders level.
And the pre-marketing expenses related to Eclira during 2010 have been already taken into consideration in the outlook that I gave earlier.
And the chance of the regulators in Europe wanting to wait for the twice a day studies to be complete?
Well, We believe that we have a good package for once a day, and that is the reason why we are filing with the current package. Obviously, the regulators will know that we have an ongoing program for BID, and in the file we are actually addressing this because we believe that some patients might benefit from a second dose, but that a number of patients, both for single agent twos as in combination with other bronchodilators, will have a significant effect of a clearer once a day at the 200 microgram dose.
I'm sorry to belabor the point here, but if you are mentioning the twice a day data in your filing, is there not a real risk, and I just don't know how this works, that the EMEA will stop the clock and wait for that data to come to be available?
No, they will not stop the clock.
You think you'll be able to add that data at the appropriate time without delaying the review?
No. We cannot add the data during the review. That's not possible within Europe. Why I say that we mentioned the BID data is that by regulation we have to mention data we have available to us. Obviously, this will be the one and only study that we have completed today, which is a very small head-to-head study, two-week duration, which will not be significant enough for the regulators to take into consideration when they review the file.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Maria Marin. Please ask your question.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. I have two questions, if I may. The first is in terms of gross margin for the third quarter. Is there any specific issue to explain the decline in the third quarter versus 09 versus third quarter 08? And what would be the trend for the full year 09? And there is some guidance for 2010. And the second question is, as you mentioned, the situation in Spain is stable, so what is the scenario that you take in consideration for Sitagliptin and Astucor? I mean, I know if you consider a good or conservative scenario for that product in Spain and also for the overall product in the region.
Okay, let me comment about the gross margin for this year so far and for the total year. I think that the gross margin or the difference that we see versus last year is particularly because of the mix of product mix. I mean, we have been putting in place a significant effort to improve cost of goods altogether by also shifting the suppliers and key raw materials to low-cost countries. So that we have been doing. I think last year in particular we saw a significant decrease in the total cost of goods. So I think that for this year it's obviously a bit harder. And I think that the combination of, on the one hand, improved cost of goods is working, but on the other hand we have, the product mix, which is having a very relevant impact. And we also have a little bit of price erosion in some countries that also obviously affect the total quality of the gross margin. So I think that for the total year, it may not be too dissimilar from what we saw last year, but indeed in Q3, I recognize that there is a significant difference, but again, it's primarily explained by product mix. As for 2010, I think it's too early to give guidance on this particular element, and we will talk a bit later once particularly we have more clarity on the results for 2009. When it comes to Spain and new products, I mean, all we can say in a summarized fashion is that they are performing very much in line with our expectations. So far so good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you very much. Your next question comes from Tracy Butcher. Please ask your question.
Hi there. Thanks very much for taking my question. I was just wondering on linaclotide. Do you have rights to the chronic constipation indication, and when you file, will you be pursuing that market opportunity at all?
Yes, good afternoon. We have rights for all indications, including the indications of chronic constipation in Europe. The market situation is a little bit different than in the US, and therefore we believe that the focus will still be on the IBS-C indication. We think that is an indication where there is a very, very high unmet need. and therefore this will be the focus. If and when we will file chronic constipation has not yet been decided. We will wait until we have the full data set for both indications to take a decision on exactly the filings.
And just one more, if I may. Can you remind me the phase 3 program from the linaclotide? Is there actually a phase 3 trial being conducted in Europe for IBS-C, or all the trials being conducted in the US?
The currently ongoing program is done in the US. This is historical because this program started before we got the rights for linaclotide in Europe. What we have done subsequent to this is to modify the analysis of the ongoing IBS program to take into consideration guidance from regulators in Europe. The guidelines for approval of IBS-C products is slightly different in the two continents, and we have tried to read this guidance and take that into consideration when modifying the protocols for the ongoing US trials. And as I mentioned an earlier question, we have an ongoing dialogue now with the regulators to make sure that this is adequate for approval based on the currently ongoing trials.
Thank you. I understand. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Joe Walton. Please ask your question.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was just a quick question on the Spanish market. And I apologize, I missed the first couple of minutes. Year to date, your Spanish sales are essentially flat. How does that performance compare with the overall market? And what do you think the medium-term outlook? Is there any change coming up at all in terms of reimbursement or anything like that that we need to be aware of?
Hi, Joa. It's Luciano here. I address indirectly somehow this question when my first statement, because what I say is that in Spain we are maintaining our market share stable, so this meaning that even our sales are, let's say, more or less flat, so is the market evolution. The market has slowed down quite a lot in the last few months, and we are now more or less growing highly below the market growth. So, and we, let's say, we don't see that the market evolution will change in the near future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Danny Sariumpa. Please ask your question.
Yeah, good afternoon. Danny Trump for Goldman Sachs. Two quick questions, if I may. One is, can you provide a bit more color on the outlook for your tax rate, particularly as it going forward? Obviously, it's related to your R&D spend, but if you give maybe a little bit more color and disclosure on that, that would be helpful. And then just lastly, sort of a follow-up to Joe's question, but wondering whether you're seeing any additional price pressure or reimbursement pressure in some of the other European markets, given the budget constraints ongoing.
Okay, let me address the tax consideration and I'll pass the word to Luciano. I think that, first of all, as you all probably know, the tax credits on R&D in Spain were extended beyond the initially considered period till lasting till 2011, so now they will carry on. These credits are influenced by the total amount of R&D spent as well as by the increase in the R&D spent during a given year. So I think that because of the particular situation we have had during 2009 when compared to 2008, where we have a significant amount of expense associated with the ACLAIM studies, phase 3 studies on ECLIRA. As a result of that, obviously, we have had a bit of a reduction in R&D this year, and a combination of these elements have moved us from a single-digit effective tax rate in 2008 and some of the previous years to basically a low double-digit effective tax rate during 2009, which we mentioned in different communications, and we still believe that it will be the one that we will have in 2009. In 2010, again, we have not given yet full financial guidance, but you can imagine that with the ongoing phase 3 studies for BID ECLIRA, the one ongoing right now and the one that also will take place during next year, R&D expenses may also be on the rise, and we have indicated that we will maintain, again, a tight control on expenses, expect on R&D that will resume growth, and with that
it is very likely that we may go back to a single-digit effective tax rate during 2010. You want to comment on the European market?
Well, about the European market, certainly you can still differentiate between Eastern Europe and Western Europe. What we have factored in for next year is obviously a tougher environment that we have had up to now, and we are making our numbers assuming this environment to be the driving force into the future for our evolution in sales. I must say also that for us has had a very debilitating effect this year, the currencies change in the UK and Poland, which are particularly UK, a relevant country for us for our international sales, and the weakening of the pound has created some headaches. We are estimating that the situation will more or less remain stable next year. Would the situation change, obviously the circumstances be rather different.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Jamie Clark. Please ask your question.
Hey, good afternoon. I've got two questions, please. Firstly, can you give us an update on the launch of Actavis's generic atorvastatin in Spain, and if you have any idea of when a reference price review of the atorvastatin will take place, if it will take place in 2010 or 2011? And secondly, you talked about consolidating your manufacturing plants. Can you just remind us of how many you currently have and what costs and savings we can assume you gained from that reorganization? Thanks.
Okay, so I will try to give you an answer to the questions about the atorvastatin generic. As you are probably aware, atorvastatin generics has been launched to the market in October, which is earlier than expected, due to the approval of a new magnesium salt that is not it is not launched anywhere else in Europe. So it's only in Spain, and the salt that we are marketing in Spain is a calcium salt. We are obviously continuing to pursue legal actions to defend the intellectual property of the product. We have already anticipated and taken to the guidance that we have issued, that Eduardo was commenting before, for the erosion of generics has been anticipated and accounted for. And we share the view together with Pfizer that it should not affect the date of entry of reference pricing for Prevencor. If the current regulatory frame is applied, the reference pricing should happen as we anticipated in 2011. We also have to remember that Prevencor, being an important product for us, stays in the context of a well-balanced and diversified portfolio for the company. So it amounts more or less for 10% of the overall sales and revenues of the company today.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
And the second question, well, you know, this is a tough question to answer. Certainly we are anticipating, well, first of all, we shut down the factory in France. This is finished, and all the expenses and all the heads are being accrued in this year guidance. So this, let's say, for next year it will be clean. And then the consolidation of the other two manufacturing plants that we have in Spain, which are San Just and San Andreu, into one concrete location. It's also based upon the externalization of certain activities and the outsource of certain products as well. So we are estimations to improve the cost of goods in a way that will allow us to maintain or actually slightly decrease the overall cost of goods during the next 2-3 years.
Okay, can you give us some idea of the scale of that improvement in cost of goods? Are we talking 100 basis points or, you know, 20 basis points?
Well, I cannot do it at this stage. Maybe when we have more refined the final numbers and so, I will be able to do it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. That's star 1 to ask a question and the hash key to cancel.
Well, no more questions.
Hello, Mr. Molina. There are no more questions at this time.
So thank you very much to everyone. Thanks for your attendance and for your interest in Almirall, and see you soon. Thank you.
Bye.
That does conclude our conference for today. You may all disconnect.